True transparency.
True transparency.
True transparency.
True transparency.
True
transparency.
True transparency.
True transparency.
Today's truth. Today's truth.
Welcome to another episode of True Transparency.
What's up, everybody?
Yep, this is T.
Yo.
All right. Been a little while, but some crazy stuff has been going on. A lot of you've heard about the recent suicides, right?
Yeah.
Kate Spade and Anthony Bourdain committing suicide. And it was really crazy that both people, like, I guess they weren't deemed by their families and I guess loved ones or close people to them to be suicidal, but it opened up a lot of talk about mental health and about where we are. But you know the part that really trips me out? When was the last time that we saw a black celebrity commit suicide?
Don Cornelius.
Was that the last black celebrity?
I think so.
I'm trying to think. I don't even know. And the thing is, that's what's tripping me out, because you can go like, man, Robin Williams, man, Anthony Bourdain, Kate Spade, and then go through people. But it seems though, even though it doesn't happen as frequently, it is taboo to talk about mental health, especially in the black community. Like, we don't want to hear stuff about being bipolar. We don't hear stuff about schizophrenia. We don't want to hear stuff about like clinical depression and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Why is this such a taboo topic in black America when we see that there are some things happening? Because even though it doesn't happen on the celebrity, you know, level, we know it's happening in real life right now. We were talking about that in the car, and you were pulling up some, he has some stats on about like, you know,
I like to hear about that.
For black men, especially.
So you may not see it in celebrities, but according to the Washington Post, suicide rates for black children are twice that of white children.
Stop. Suicide rates for black children are twice that than white children?
Yes. Black teenagers within our community commit suicide, and it's like one of their top ways of more of death, actually. I think it's like number two, if I recall correctly. I'll pull it up. But that is something that it's uncomfortable to talk about, but I can say that I know a young kid who, as a teenager, committed suicide. And I think a lot more people are starting to hear that, and that's becoming a reality for a lot of us, and we rarely ever talk about it.
It makes me wonder, though. I don't want to be, like, super insensitive, but I just don't remember hearing about suicide as much when I was little. I just don't remember hearing that people were, you know, using, that was a big, you know, problem. But now, it seems like, man, is life now in the current society that we live in so unbearable that people are just, is it chemical things that we're intaking or something like that that's actually causing people to take this route? Things ever get like that bad? I mean, I don't know what's going on with that, because literally, then you have people like, I mean, y'all heard Kanye's new album, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, I mean, like, I think one of his things was the most beautiful things are, you know, wrapped in the dark, in darkness, right? That's what he talks about on his album. Like, you know, when you have the most beautiful thoughts, they're usually very closely, you know, assimilated to dark thoughts. And something that he says that, you know, he admits to being bipolar on his CD, which is something that you don't see from most black artist, but he's taking it from a stance of, hey, that's not a handicap. That makes me a superhero to be bipolar. That makes me super creative. What is your take on that?
I can agree. All right. So I have family members who suffer from bipolar disorder, and they happen to be very artistic, probably some of the greatest artists I know. And they have these periods where they go to really dark places and they make a really amazing artwork to go along with. Their emotions are wrapped up, unfortunately, in their gift, and it takes them places depending on how they feel when they do art. As I listen to Kanye, or as I think about his career more so, there are moments where he goes through these waves, and on every dark wave, he produces something that's really great. He's like that. So I could totally see how that happens to work for him.
Yeah.
But with that, it takes away from, or at least in my experience, from your relationship with people. And if you have these big ebbs and flows, it becomes noticeable in your behaviors, and your family members and people close to you also go through these waves. So as I look at Kanye on the other side of things, right, I think about how he goes into public and he has his manics, he's up, he's down, and how that would be for his children, how that would be for the people closest to him. I can understand why he's going through all this turmoil now, because it comes and it goes. The pendulum swings both ways. So yes, I'm making really great art, but I'm also, because of my mental illness, having problems with my family and the way people are looking at me, how they're talking to me. And that's his career, and it makes complete sense.
Mm-hmm. He has one line that trips me out on his album. He says, "I'm over here thinking like the Jetsons, but sounding like George Jefferson."
Yeah.
And
he says that?
He says that.
I only listened to the album like maybe once or twice.
No, I listen to certain songs.
Certain songs that I listen to more than others. Like, yikes. I like yikes.
I like all mine. The whole album
over and over again, at least eight times.
I like all mine. That's with Ty Dolla $ign.
Yeah, I like that one too.
I like that song. Now, that first song.
That's kind of raw. Yeah. That's kind of raw. I'm surprised, but yeah, I like that one too.
Yeah, literally, but the song with, like, you got to think about, like, the collab he has with, like, Charlie Wilson goes really deep and, like, to that gospel.
No Mistakes. I love that song too.
And so, but you just got to think about it. Then he even gives, like, you know, a shout out to his girl for being like, you know, hey, thanks for not leaving me. Cool. Because, yeah, I know that I mess up and I say stuff and I do things that you're like, man, we got a family to worry about now. It's not just you, dude. Like, you can't just be out here saying stuff. But literally, when you think about him, when you think about him, we did a show about, you know, about him and about him saying things and understanding that there's responsibility for when you say things, that it's because of mental illness. You could tell. We were sitting there looking at him being like, did you see the interview he did with Charlamagne? And then turn around and see what he did with TMZ? Yeah. Like, you were just sitting up there like, what are you talking about, dude? The one thing about Kanye that really, you know, continues to, I guess he's just really interesting to me, is the fact that I know that you're gifted. I know that you're talented. Mm-hmm. It's just that you're opening up a box, which I'm glad of, to now we can talk about, you can be gifted and talented and still have some, he even says, my mental is gentle. Nobody picked up that line in his song. He says, my mental is gentle. And saying that, I know one day I could be all the way over here. He says some shit. He says, sometimes I terrify my own self, myself. I don't know what's going on. And it's hard for us to have those type of conversations in the Black community, especially among Black men. Because I think for the most part, it's okay with a woman being a little, you know, emotional. Mm-hmm. You know, we tell Black women all the time, kind of like, y'all moody. You know, one day you're up, the next day you're down and all of that. We don't deal with depression as well, because we think, oh, women are always depressed. Women are always going through some type of insecurity. But you just don't see suicide amongst Black women, or that feeling. Is that every suicide that I've seen from a Black person, I'll be honest with you, in my personal life, has come from a Black male.
Yeah.
I don't know a Black female that's committed suicide.
Neither do I. Most of the ones that I've had that have been family members have been men.
You know, and the immense amount of pressure, not just seeing, you know, I'm depressed, or I don't feel, you know, that I've reached the pinnacle of manhood. And we've talked about this before, that people have different ideas of what manhood is. But the one thing that bothers me is, why is it so hard for us to talk about mental health? Why do we see that as you're weak? Or if you let somebody know, that's an embarrassment.
It's unfortunately linked a lot to how people, how men are taught what masculinity is. Masculinity is a burden, much like being a woman is a burden, based on what other people anticipate or interpret that to be, right? A man has to be upright, strong, because there's generations that you've looked at and that's a man to you. And now you pass that information down. It worked then, but it's not a complete view of a person. Now, it's harder for a man to say, I went to go see someone about how I feel. And it's because there's a stigma that comes along with that. Thank you. And it's a negative stigma to ask for help. To be honest, my dad has bipolar disorder. Mm-hmm. And prior to him coming out and talking to us about it, or actually he didn't even talk to me about it, my mom did. I know certain things. And he was open with me one day and it's like, you know, I go see a therapist and I talk about things. And I learned about different emotions, how to handle it. I'm managing my stuff, right? And listening to him, I went to talk to a therapist. And I was able to get a lot of stuff and put my life in perspective, change the way I think, have somebody engage me in a different way that would make me really deal with emotions. So now I'm very cognizant of those things because I have a hereditary history of people in my family getting it, to monitoring how I feel and working through that. And I feel like if we continued to have these kind of conversations in the community, we would fix a lot of our issues.
Yeah. Do you ever get a little frightened or concerned that you might develop bipolar disorder?
All the time. I don't think I will, because I also took the time to research what I can do to stem it off. I agree with you that, strangely enough, these issues have just started to be really prevalent. So it may be something in the food that's causing us to do these things, or just something in our behaviors that have led to more mental illnesses. But it's been said in a couple studies, I'll pull up the stats later, fact check me, that exercising cuts down on depression. And I can say that as I exercise, I don't get depressed. I actually get a lot of the angst that I feel or any frustrations out, and I feel better after I work out, after I exercise. And the people that I know who have also had mental illnesses in my family don't work out or exercise.
Hmm. Yeah. I think with the whole thing with exercises, the only reason you would do it is because you have some hope of something changing, you know, hope of either changing your look or changing a health situation, a crisis that you're facing, or you may be preconditioned to face. There's some hope in exercising, where if you're not exercising, there is no hope. You know what I mean? So you just succumb to this depressing world that we live in.
I don't know. I think that there's multiple venues, or multiple avenues of hope, because you can have hope in the form of maybe a relationship. You can have hope in the form of a career. You can have hope in a lot of different arenas in life. It just goes back down to the center, I believe, of like who you are. Mm-hmm. Because what happens when you're in perfect tip-top condition, or if you're moving in that, you know, in that way, and you have money? How many people we know, you have money? You have, like, these people that just committed suicide, you know, they had money. They had fame. They had, you know, what some people call, you know, dream jobs. You were using your skill sets and your talents and being able to do that. What brings you to the point of saying, I don't want to live no more? Or brings you to the point of saying, you know, I'm not valuable anymore.
I don't want to know.
Yeah.
I don't want to know.
You don't know anybody that's ever committed suicide?
Yeah, no, I've known people, but I don't want to know what drove them to that, because I don't want to have that thought in my mind.
Or maybe it's already happened to you.
Apparently, it's a powerful thing.
No, so full disclosure. So I had suicidal thoughts for a period in my life, like a lot. I didn't go through with anything, but it's one of the things that I dealt with. And everyone mentally is different, right? There are certain things that I would experience that probably wouldn't bother you, and vice versa. You may have had a moment or had a low point and been able to move past it. And the only difference is whatever situation that was for them, it just wasn't something they could, you know, look past.
That speaks exactly what I'm saying. What if I'm not so different from them?
No,
if
you're
If I had that thought that they were faced with, that put them in that position to make that final decision.
You've probably already had the same thought. It's just that you processed it differently.
Maybe, possibly. Yeah.
Because the thing is, this is the thing where, and the thing that we preface it with, I'm going to go back to Kanye, is, you know, when he starts talking, the one thing that I can appreciate about his album is that he's so candid and just so, just like, yeah, I didn't think about killing myself. So what make you think I ain't think about killing you? Because I love myself. Yeah. And I've thought about killing myself.
Absolutely.
And then he goes on to say, well, I guess I should say that I'm just struggling in turn because that's the right thing to say. No, when does it become okay to be like, hey, can I just be honest? And be like, look, man, shit, things got real rough today. And I ain't know if I was going to make it through. And I've had a suicide thought. What makes us correlate suicidal thoughts with weakness?
Yeah.
We just go, man, you weak if you can't. No, man, I'm human. And I had a moment.
That's valid.
You know, I had a moment to where shit just didn't align for me. And I felt like I didn't want to be here anymore because I had a many moments where I was just like, man, I don't want to do this no more. And there are things that supersede
this thing called life.
Yeah. I didn't want to do life no more because you get to the point of you start finding out things kind of like what you said, yo, is, man, I entered a realm of hopelessness. Like, I don't see anything worth continuing to move forward for. And then you have, and I believe, and this is where it gets really sticky for me, because I personally believe that something happens that God reminds me of the littlest thing, and it kind of brings me back to where, yeah, life is pretty jacked up right now, and things could be real better than what they are right now, but this. And a lot of times what it happens to me is I'll think about my mom. Think about my sibling. Think about my nieces and my nephews. Thought. Like literally, yeah. Or just think about the fact that, and every single time, no lie, dude, every single time I get to the point of like breaking, because I've thought in my mind before, I was like, I think I might be a little crazy. And I'm not talking about that woman crazy where I'm going to come and like break, smash the windows of your cars or key. I'm just saying in my mind, I'm thinking like, do people think the way that I think?
Yes.
I think I might be a little crazy.
No, I think everybody questions whether they think the way the rest of other people think. At some point, they're like, mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, either I'm surrounded by idiots or I'm the idiot.
So I want to tell y'all a story. This happened to me last week. So I work in the office room with, excuse me, office building with all women. It's just women. So sometimes we have conversations. And in these conversations, they ask me questions and I respond as openly as I can and respectfully. I told a group of women one day that I'm taking the time. I'm reading this book called Awaken the Giant Within, Tony Robbins. Mm-hmm. And we're in the chapters where it talks about your emotions. And they asked me, how would I react emotionally? And I said, I would think about why I'm upset, and then I would deal with the situation afterwards. I don't want to just... I'm upset. Just sit there and be upset. I want to think about what may have happened to make me upset so I don't have it happen again. Like, that's how I would think about emotions. That's called emotional intelligence. And they looked at me like, but do you do that? Yeah. I try to think about what made me happy today so I can continue to do it. Wow, that's really logical. Why would you do that? That's not emotional. And I was like, wait, this is just how I interpret them. Like, this, I want to understand what I can do and make myself more happy. I was happy today because I went and worked out. Okay, let me just work out more in my life and I'll be happy. I can't believe that. That's weird. You're just not in touch with your emotions. And it got real weird. And why are you taking me to these places? And as a man, whenever we open up that way, women process and they respond. And, you know, you never know what way a man is dealing with emotions. We all do it differently. We don't talk about it nearly enough. I don't think we've come far enough as a society where men will just open up and really talk about things like we should, much like our mental health. But if we did, we'd be a completely breed of people. And if we just allowed each other to go to our dark places but communicate while we're there, at least have walkie-talkies to people, which is what therapy is. You go and you're talking to someone who can really help you out when you're in a dark place. And if you're in a good place, they'll help you understand what can happen, what can keep you there. And it's
hopefully.
Hopefully. But as a supreme optimist, I think, you know,
when you have somebody else, who has wisdom, you know what I mean? Because you can talk to anybody and they'll tell you some things, but it doesn't make it, you know, correct or true.
But it's you on the edge of, and you as an individual will think about things and process them your way, right? If the wrong person gives you the right message, that could change the rest of your life.
You learn from your failures. Hopefully, you learn from your failures. Absolutely.
And it's really crazy that you think that way, because very rarely do I ever think, and this is the sad part, very rarely do I ever think, what made me happy today? You get into a mode, I can't say everyone, but I'm in this mode of production. What did I produce worth of value today? I never ask myself, man, what made Tierney happy today? I evaluate my day by how I felt I was valued to other people, which is very scary because that puts a lot of responsibility on me to give and to give. I'm just at a natural point of, what did I give at work today? What did I give to my friendships today? What did I give to my family today? What did I give? Never once. When we were riding here, you asked me like...
That doesn't add up to happiness though for it, you.
I don't know. That's why I was like, I've never asked myself. And it's really weird. I don't go through that vein of thought. So the fact that they would say, half the times I say, stop listening to your emotions so much. Stop, because your emotions sometimes can lie to you. The Bible in itself says the heart is deceitful. The thing is, we would feel so unblessed or so forgotten until we get into logical and start saying, damn, I got a roof over my head. Damn, I have a car, not just a car that I can drive. I have the car that I want. Man, I have a job that pays me to do this. Mm-hmm. Man, I can get out and go and do this and not have to worry. And then you start going, shit, okay, I'm blessed. Oh, okay, I can do this. No, the thing is, you start realizing the blessings, because sometimes you feel forgotten. Sometimes you feel in a hole and you have to get out your feelings. I know people be like, man, I'm all in my feelings. You got to get out your feelings. Because when you get in your feelings, your feelings can sink you down so low that you start, and I equate that to what a lot of Christians call the devil. Because the devil, I don't think, is a little, you know, guy with a pitchfork, and then it is your own thoughts talking to you in like your deepest despair and telling you to continue going down that hole and continue lying to yourself and saying that you're forgotten, that you're not talented, that you're not going to come out of this, that there is a cycle of this day and this day is going to end and a new day is going to begin and you can start this thing all the way over. Like, you can hit rock bottom and still come up. Yeah. And nobody ever wants to talk about, you're at rock bottom. Yeah, man, you're at rock bottom. Yeah. But the only way, the best part about this is the only way to go is up.
You know,
so let's figure out.
A lot of people don't know. They blame it on the devil, but they don't know who the devil is. When they look in the mirror, that's the devil. That's the one that's going to steal it from you. The person that's looking back at you and giving you the doubt.
Right.
Giving you the fear.
Yes.
Every morning is you versus you. So when you look in the mirror, you think, oh, the devil is going to have red horns or whatever, whatever. No, that devil is staring you back in the face every day.
Like, so, self-care is very evident. Self-talk and self-care. The things that we talk, and me and Noun talk about this all the time, because in a time I was going through some really difficult things, Noun gave me a lot of advice, you know, and he always throwing Tony Robbins at me, you know, and look, so
Tony is the man.
But the self-talk, and I've talked to friends and people that have been there, and I'll listen to them talk, and it's so much easier to hear other people, but it's hard to hear it coming out of yourself, because most of the time you don't hear it outside of your body. You don't sit in the mirror and say, I suck today. I cannot accomplish anything. I'm gonna go. It's a mental thing.
You might do that mentally, but
that's
you don't,
what I'm saying.
What you don't do is the opposite of that. You don't sit in the mirror and say, you know what? You won today. You won big.
Yeah, but I start doing that though.
Some people do.
I start doing that.
My thing is to ask questions, right? So, this is why I respect Tony Robbins. Outside of all the stuff he did, there was something he put in his book about ask the power of questions. That when you're having these moments, asking questions to those negative thoughts will transform the negative thought, right? I suck today. What did I do to make me feel like I suck today? And think about it. You will think about things and you'll start, didn't really suck that much. Like, okay, I could have done better in this, but that wasn't terrible. And you start to rationalize and realize, okay, that was a little left field. Yeah, I've done all this other stuff well. I just had a bad day. And having that be a continuing thought process whenever you have a negative thought will transform everything to you, because you will really think through things.
Yeah, there'll be some balance.
Yeah.
But this is something that I challenge you guys on. The reason why, because you know how people have this theory about like social media, right? Mm-hmm. Social media, I feel like if we've allowed it to, has damaged us mentally. Because literally, we don't spend time with our own thoughts, not assessing and analyzing what we're thinking, what we're saying. The majority of what we do is go through timelines and compare and contrast our lives with other people. Mm-hmm. And I look at what Susie, Bobby, Jackie, all them doing over there, and it seems like they're super happy.
Yo, I think that's a human thing. I think everybody does that. I think everybody is faced with that thought to process things in that way. You know, some people post things to celebrate themselves, like, hey, this is a highlight, and I just want to inspire you to go for what you believe in, whatever you're trying to do. Celebrate it. I'm just celebrate mine. I just want to give you hope. Yeah. I want to inspire you. I want to encourage you to continue to do whatever you do.
Mm-hmm.
Some people look at those celebrations and they say, look at this nigga.
And that's one thing I've talked to friends that have been like, man, this person's living the life. They're doing this. Man, this person's doing this. And man, this person's doing this. And I'll tell them, I said, but you have no idea what's going on in the mind of that person. You have no idea what's going on in their life. They might have just been having a horrible month, and this was the one day that something good happened, and they posted about that one good thing, and they were just so happy to have something positive to say. I said, imagine if stuff really got real and people started every day posting their real thoughts on social media.
Who does that?
You know?
No, who exposes themselves?
There are several accounts.
There's some people. There's some people, but on a regular, I'm talking about, you know, a constant base. Because the thing is, it's hard for me to even be open sometimes with my friends, because I was talking to one of my friends about something and they were like, well, how long has this been going on? And I'm like, for a while. And they're like, you don't say much. I don't, because I've internalized things for so long. I don't. Just because I'm like, I internalize because there is the thought that I don't want to say this because I'm going to look weird. I'm going to look weak, or I'm going to look
vulnerable.
Yes, extremely, or crazy. Because it's one thing, it's like literally you might start thinking, because the scariest thing, the scariest thoughts, that's why I was asking you, are you scared of that now? Because the scariest thought is you start thinking, damn, am I bipolar? Damn, am I schizophrenic? Because I feel like I'm this person one day, I'm that person the next day, and I want this. And then you'll go into a cycle of depression and then a cycle of happiness. I'm like, is this, am I manic? This and that, and you start analyzing yourself, and you don't want to have this stigma placed on you or this label placed on you, because then you're diseased.
It's a fear of judgment.
Yeah.
So one of the things that transformed my life is I have a learning disability. Most people don't know that. Oh, now it's on the air. And the stigma of, oh man, I'm less smart than I thought I could be. Like, wow, it kind of humbled the fuck out of me. And then realizing it's not that big of a deal, right? Oh, my dad is bipolar, but he still does amazing things every day. He still functions. It has nothing to do with the type of person you are. You just have a mistake. It's not even a mistake. You have something about you that's different from other people.
Challenge.
Yeah, there's another obstacle.
Challenge. Yeah.
And if you continue to live your life in the way that you're supposed to, that's not going to stop you. You're just going to get used to it. And then if you continue to live that way every day, you're going to get better at being used to it. And you will still be an amazing person, which is why I can't take anything away from rappers like Logic or Kanye who come forward and say, hey, this is my truth. This is what it is. This is how I feel. And you can respect that because they're being as honest as they possibly can be. Logic's song about suicide, that was a very deep song if you've never listened to it before. Like, he put it out there. Hey, people kill themselves. Let's not have a conversation about it without putting a method to stop it. And he put the number for the suicide hotline in his song.
Yeah. It's just about, I don't think we spend enough time on self-care. There's not enough time that we spend on self-talk. We just don't. Like, can anybody say, do you wake up saying positive thoughts to yourself?
I do.
Well,
it's purposeful.
I don't wake up, but there is a point in my day where I implant those things.
So I had to steal from being Mary Jane. And so I have stickies. I went out. I purposefully did this. This was not something I was
dry
inspired.
Dry erase markers on your mirror.
No. Sticky notes. Okay. Sticky notes.
That's actually
around
a good ass idea. I might do that.
No. I do Thanks, sticky y'all. Notes and I leave them up there. because, and I think the person that, while the sticky note inspiration was from Mary Jane, one person that I listened to a lot, Lisa Nichols. I listened to her because she had a disability, and she wasn't the smartest. She wasn't the smartest. She didn't get the best grades,
mm-hmm.
But she ended up being like, you know, a motivational speaker. And the one thing she says is, you got to really talk to yourself. You have to remind yourself of who you are. And I remember Kanye saying that, because he's like, if you don't remind yourself of who you are, you'll start to believe what other people or what other things that are implanted into you. Because there's things that are implanted into us subliminally all the time, yeah. of how we should think, or what we should be, or where we should be. And we've talked about it even from a gender, you know, role, whereas, man, you know, if you're a woman and you over 30 and you ain't had no kids,
you crazy.
Something wrong with you. You ain't married and you ain't got no kids. Those are the type of thoughts you have to think about that are subliminally through culture, through family, and different things that are put into a woman's mind. So if you're a woman that's in her mid to late 30s, you start to view yourself as a failure if you don't start going, no, I'm making a decision, a conscious decision, to wait for the right person to do this, etc. As a man, if this says, oh, you just got to be a man, if you don't have this, 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 and this, then you're not a man. No, you can say, I'm a man because, you know, I take care of my responsibilities. I do the things that I'm supposed to do. I honor, you know, the people in my life. And if you don't take purposeful or intentional steps
mm-hmm.
to talk to yourself every day, nobody is above. That's why I say, nobody is above. Everybody's had that thought. For somebody to be like, man, I ain't never thought about things, that you're lying to yourself, because everybody's had that moment like, damn, why can't I just get it right? You think everybody else's role seems so different or so easy or so, you know.
Intentional is key. Intentional is key.
That's you got to talk to yourself. That's why
it's a necessary part of my diet. Monday through Friday on my commute to work is that I intend to speak words into my day. And that's, for me, that's my moment of prayer.
Mm-hmm.
That's my moment of, so much is going on. But I leave it all to God, and my trust that He is faithful over His word, that He knows my desires. He knows, you know.
But let's keep, since you went on that road, let's talk about that.
But I need that. That's a daily thing.
I know.
Go ahead.
But let's talk about, especially with Black people, when it comes to prayer. I am a proponent. I am a praiser of going to God and talking to God about things and getting that. What I have a problem with.
Nah, I took a deep breath.
No, I'm just saying. What I have a problem with, though, especially from Black people, I am speaking specifically to Black people, is when you pray your way through everything, and maybe God's answer is, go get some help. And you are like, well, we're going to pray this out. We're going to cast this out of them. How about you go sit down and talk to somebody too? What happened to, why are they binary? Why can't you pray and go to therapy?
I don't get it. So binary is wrong or right?
My thing is, why is it either the other? Why, literally, why is it, just, if you pray, then you know you need to trust God. Why can't you pray for direction? And why can't you also go and talk to a therapist or go and get something done? What is it so bad a lot of times? Because I talk to people that have issues going on, and they're just like, we just go pray our way through it. And I was like, okay, I understand prayer, but you can go and get help too.
So I understand your point. For me, there's degrees where you can still make that okay. I went to a Christian counselor.
Right.
He was my dad's friend who just happened to be a therapist. Dr. Ball was amazing. He was my dad's pastor friend, and he helped me get through a really dark period in my life. So you can still do that. You can still find someone who will still pray for you. We started every therapy session with prayer, and then we went forward and we talked about things. And if I had questions, we were related to the Bible, and it made sense for me. So you don't always have to pray away something and not have action along with it, right? So if you know that something, things happen. You got to reap something in order to sow something. We're not God. God's the only person who could do that. We'd like to imagine that that's how prayer works, but that's not. I'm praying for it. I'm going to do an action along with this prayer to let you know that I'm serious. Yeah. So I think that the people who blindly just pray or try to invoke the spiritual power forget the fact that I need to physically manifest something before the spirit will move.
And that's all I'm saying, because what I don't like is, I was watching YouTube videos from some people and just random people that I subscribe to. And they were like, I was going through something. I watched a video today where a young lady was making a video and she's like, I was going through something. She was in a car driving. And she said, I just wanted to end it. I wanted to throw it all away. And I went to church and they just wanted to pray. And I was just like, and she was like, I felt like, and they were like, you just got to have faith. If you don't have faith, he's not going to move. And so instead of sitting down and being like, I will pray with you, but I will also sit down and talk this through with you. And I will see what's going on if I have that skill set. If not, you know, but instead of saying, hey, I will pray with you and let's see if God can lead us to the right person that could, you know, minister to you in this way or do that. Instead of doing that, it's just like, we're going to pray and we're going to lay hands on you and we're going to cast this out of you. And we're going to cast this spirit off of you. And then she walked away and she wanted to kill herself even more after that, because now she felt like a failure, because she was like, now it's on me because I didn't have enough faith to get free. And that's where I get upset.
For people who are suffering from depression, your voice is the voice that literally can end everything for you. It's also the voice that can transform everything for you. I've watched my dad and my sister go through these really deep, dark moments, and there was literally nothing I could do to stop it. I could see it. I could feel it. I could reach out to them, and they would never be able to feel my hand, because it's not me that they're dealing with. And it took me a very long time to understand that about depression. It doesn't mean that the people who are having suicidal thoughts don't love you. It doesn't mean that they're not still right there with you. It's just their voice is so loud that they cannot hear anything
else. And that hurts.
And it hurts, it stings, but you can't take that personally. It's easier to say than it is to actually practice.
It's hard.
But in learning that, I learned to deal with myself differently. Because I know that I could be bipolar one day. Yeah. It could happen.
Anybody is susceptible to those thoughts.
To those urges, those
that
thoughts.
That would lead you to those actions. I don't blame them. I can't condemn them for one second. I just hope I never have to succumb to them, because whatever it is, for each individual person, there is a point that can be pressed. And like, look, if I press this point enough, this is going to make you have these thoughts. I don't want to go there.
We just have to remember, like I said, Kanye had the brilliant line, my mental is gentle. Your mind and your brain is one of the most sensitive parts of your body. And you think about people when they have these psychotic breaks and when things just happen and it kind of just, you don't know what's going on. Think about a time that you got disoriented. And the thing about it, if I admit it more, I have a moment of disorientation about every morning when I'm driving, and it scares the mess out of me, because I come to in my car and I'm like, where am I? Literally. And I go, hold up, am I on 285 or am I on? And I look up and be like, oh, okay, I recognize again where I'm at. And I'm going, just because that's how sensitive the mind is. And when you have these breaks, when you're carrying things on your mind, you're carrying stress. You have so many different things going on. If you aren't taking care of yourself, if you literally, kind of like York said, you have to be intentional with all of your day, every single day. And people are like, well, man, that's just too much. Follow your emotions. Follow your emotions all day if you want to, and watch where it leads you. How about one day you do a test? You do an intentional self-care day where you're like, I'm going to do things that, hey, this made me happy. Like Now said, I worked out, I gave, I talked to somebody, I used my talent, I did something, whatever it made me happy. And then go a day and just follow your emotions all day and just see how you feel at the end of the day. Do you feel completely drained, hopeless, depressed? You mad? You don't understand what's going on? Because I can tell you, it'll be different. What did you say to me when we were walking up here today?
I honestly don't remember.
You were like, you got a little pep in your step.
Oh. Okay. So, backstory. T, when she, right before she moved to a different area, she would walk different. You know, she would look down at the ground and she would notice where she was. She would look up, of course. She made eye contact with everyone, but you would notice how often she would look down because she would stroll in and there'd be a strong Denzel roll of the shoulder as she came into the room, like, hey, y'all, what's going on? Denzel. Bow. Yeah. You know how Denzel, he got that little shoulder action. Anyway. And today she didn't have that. It was completely different. Walk was confident. Boom. And I noticed that.
But the thing is, you have to be intentional. I've never asked myself, am I happy? But when I'm in my car, I do think about, what are the things that matter the most?
Got to. Yeah, you got to.
What are the things that matter the most to me? Because there are things, you know, like I ask myself stupid stuff like this. And for all the girls that don't care about rims, do I get rims or do I go on family vacation? Do I spend time with, like, seriously, or do I spend time with my friends or do I put in extra time at work?
Right.
Do I go and enjoy this? And you have to start weighing things in your life.
Yeah, you do.
You have to start making difficult decisions every single day that are going to be, you have to start caring about yourself. You do. And you have to stop just allowing your emotions to run you all around the world and back again. Because then after that, who wouldn't feel spent? Who wouldn't feel fatigued just with life? Who wouldn't feel like, why are we doing this again? It's like, in, you know, if you think about in the Bible, it says in Ecclesiastes, it says, if we all gonna die tomorrow, let's go ahead and just drink. Let's drink it up and party it away because we're going to die tomorrow. It don't matter. But when you feel like there's something to live for, when you feel like there's people around you, and that's why we got to be so intentional, even when we're looking at people, because people want to post on social media, oh, mental health is important. But check in with your people.
Mm-hmm.
Check in with your family.
Jeez, yeah.
Check in with your friends.
Before you post, make that post. Check in with your people.
Right. Because the thing is, the mental is gentle. And you might be seeing somebody has been wearing a mask for 25 years. If they've been, and I think about myself, the fact that I don't divulge the most innermost parts of me to people. I've had 36 years to practice that. You don't think I'm good at it? You don't think I can come in and smile and laugh and carry on and you not know that my emotions are in turmoil? If I know I can do it, I know other people can do it as well. But there has to be more engagement and more connection. And you have to figure out. Eventually, people will tell you. You'll start hearing some of their thoughts. You'll hear it.
So, kind of like what we were talking about earlier. While there's other people there, we also have to remember to self-care. Self-care is a big deal. At the end of the day, you have to save yourself. Not saying that God won't still help people in your path to save you, but you have to make the conscious choice to move towards something positive. We need to start having these conversations, but you have to agree with being open to other people, having your thoughts put on display. You got to be vulnerable. It's a choice. And I think that while we should check on your people, definitely check on your people, don't forget to check on yourself. Make sure that you're good. You know, everyone talks about their energy and vibration. Oh, protect your energy. What we're not talking about is protect your sense of self. Because as you said, our mentality is sensitive. It's subject to all types of whims that other people will run up on you with. You have to be straight with yourself. Knowledge of self is one of the most important things you can attain. And it's not because you'll get to some great higher place or you'll be a millionaire. No, you'll just understand who you are and you won't be shaken on the ways of life.
Yeah. I'm introducing something that we talked about this previously, being woke. As Black people, being woke, being aware of these conditions that we're under and the things that we have to undertake to overcome that.
Mm-hmm.
That's, I think that plays into this whole mental health topic that we're talking about.
Your mind gets weighed down with all the different things by being woke. Do you think that woke people are more in touch with their mental health than people that aren't woke?
No. I think if you're woke, You have the reality that life is not always the best for your type of person, right? You see the writing on the wall. You can articulate the problems and the issues, and you know that they exist, right? there is a sense of hopelessness when you know too much. When you think about things analytically and you really hold them to be factual and to be true all the time, they can put you in a dark place. And I think being woke, a lot of people who are woke, quote unquote, have issues because the reality that they see externally does not help them to be who they want to be internally. And they begin to process that, and there's a hopelessness that happens because you get to see on a grand scale that a lot of people don't have hope. It's just not me. And I know that sounds messed
it's
up,
like,
but
let's keep it real. I don't have hope at all.
So you can't say we as black people don't think we don't have
hope. No. I'm not saying that we as black people don't have. I'm saying when you're woke, there's an element where you realize the greater plight. Like, there are a lot of people who can articulate the same thing I'm going through. There is a lot of racism in America. It gives you a lot of extra reasons to not have that mental stability, right? Because you get to see how crazy the world is. Yeah. And when you look at crazy people, you don't think about, are you crazy? Are you satisfied?
We have a unique perspective on the world as it exists as a United States citizen, mm-hmm. right? I think it would be great if there was more emphasis on mental health for African Americans in this country as far as the educational system goes, public mm-hmm. and private. You know,
I agree. I believe, like we said, we have to overcome that stigma that is bad to talk about it. But we need to get more and not look at it as an excuse. Oh, you're just giving it as an excuse, the reason why I'm like I am. No, it's legit. And we definitely need to start paying attention to it. But where we can start is just by the stuff that we're saying. And we have to make sure that we're saying things that uplift us and that encourage us. And we have to be mindful of that. Because a lot of the shit that we listen to, a lot of the shit that we say, don't necessarily play in good to our mental health. Y'all got to admit that, though. Well, that's a lot on our minds. That's a lot on our minds. But we need to definitely tighten it up as far as making sure we realize that if you have depression, if you're suffering from, you know, mental fatigue, that's something that we don't even talk about. Just mental fatigue, where you don't feel like you really can go anymore. You need to find somebody to talk to. And most importantly, you need to engage in self-talk and good mm-hmm. self-talk. Good self-talk. Do whatever you need to do. Don't let nobody tell you crazy. Put it on note cards. Put it on your phone. Put it on sticky notes. Put it on, like Yo said, get you a dry erase marker. Get you some lipstick. Do something.
Right on your mirror.
Okay? Because life is too precious for us to be losing people, because the mind is definitely deceiving a lot of people and saying Absolutely. That life is not worth it, but it is. And if you are feeling weak, you need to find you somebody to talk to that can help you talk to yourself.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you don't know how to talk to yourself.
You don't.
And you need to have somebody help you, because listen to people, get podcasts, listen to music, listen to stuff by any means necessary.
Siblings,
guard your life.
Brothers, sisters, people yes. that are trying to speak life into you.
Yes. Yeah. Grab the life rope.
Yeah.
Well, we said we're just going to end literally with the greatest verse, I think, on Kanye's album, The Mental is Gentle. But make sure you take care of the most, you know, sensitive part of your body, which is your mind. Say about that.
That was powerful.
Bye.